yo, yo, it's your boy Chang Bang.
It's your boy No Grand Boo.
And this is Thugged Out Thursdays.
And you gotta
relax. Check it out. This is a different type of podcast. Today we have a legend in the motherfucking building. Yes, he go by the name of Peter Shue. Make some motherfucking noise for my motherfucking brother Peter Shue. Legendary Peter Shue is on Thugged Out Thursdays. And guess what? Yes, he spoke to me a long time ago. He said, Ching Bang, I see you doing your thing. You got your show going on. And guess what? I'm going to pull up on you. And guess what? He pulled up today. This is a real big moment for me, because not only is he in the building, there's another legend in the building. So this is like, you don't understand, the energy on Thugged Out Thursdays today is exclusive. You know what I'm saying? What's up, Peter Shue?
Man, you got it. You know, I'm glad to be here with my family. You know, all you brothers I know for a while.
Yeah.
Love y'all, got love for y'all.
Yeah.
Glad I can make it, you know.
Yeah.
Both got busy schedules. And,
no, you know, listen.
You know?
I know you got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, but I had to make some time for y'all. I've been promising Chamberlain I was going to make time for him.
Yo, before we start, hold up, though. Before I say, it's Peter Shue story, the life of the party. I am the life of the party, too, goddammit.
Okay.
So it's two of us.
Okay.
You heard? Right. So yeah, we got two life of the parties in the building, and my man Mike Booth, shit is going down.
Listen.
Yeah, the
if
book.
If y'all don't have the book.
Yeah, the book.
Get the book, Peter Shue. Peter Shue's story.
Peter Shue's story, the life of the
life
party.
Life of the party. Support, you know what I'm saying?
Smooth criminals striving to survive in the world of do or die.
For a lot of people that don't know, Peter Shue was one of the biggest promoters, party promoters, right?
Man, you could call me that.
No.
Slash, you know. But he was one of the biggest party promoters, you know what I'm saying? And I want you to, you know, tell a story and, you know, date back to how you got into the party promoting and how you got into your other profession.
Well, the other profession came first.
Oh, the other profession. Okay, well, you know, well, we can get into that then.
The other profession, you know.
Which was what?
I was they considered me one of the biggest drug dealers ever.
Oh, my God.
So I was doing that. But, you know, it was you know, a part of life. You go into that, you know, you do what you have to do to survive. And I have, you know, if you know me, I have a big family, meaning not just family by, you know, intimacy and stuff. I'm talking about family by my friends and homies and sisters and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of people depend on me.
Right.
So, whereas you might have a child and have to support that child, I have to make sure my whole team is okay.
Right.
So that's how it was before, and that's how it is now.
All right. So I just want to, you know, kind of date back to when you was, you know, getting money and you was in the streets and, you know, you was running around Harlem and every place you was running around. Where you originally from?
I'm originally from the Bronx, but I claim New York. A person that claims the blood limits themselves, because we're all from New York. And when we was away, I used to tell brothers, stop saying I'm from the Bronx, Brooklyn, say I'm from New York.
Right.
If they say what part, then you tell them what part. But
right.
New York is the strongest city in the continent. Everybody knows that. So a lot of people, we're the trendsetters. Everybody follows out, you know, what we do and stuff, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people hate on that, but you know, what can you say? That's what New York is where, like the song say, if you can't make it here, you can make it anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's how it was. So when I was in the drug game, you know, doing what we do, I was taking care of everybody. And, you know, when I went away, they didn't have to worry about them going. I went by myself.
Right.
Because that's what real dudes do.
Of course.
So the party thing came because...
What year the party thing came? Let's be clear.
Probably 88, 89.
Yeah.
You know, we was making so much money. We was making so much money on the street.
Hell yeah. Hold on.
So who introduced you to the streets?
Well, the streets was always introduced to me since I was 13.
Right.
So when I started out, before my first bid, robbing. So I was robbing people and, you know, taking the money and sniffing coke, getting the money, because the coke was... The casual high, like cheese,
like
is weed, now.
Right.
So we used to just sniff coke. You go to a party, you see coke in the ashtray. Mm. So I'm saying, I seen the biggest drug dealers have parties and they had coke in the ashtray.
And coke was real cheap back then.
And coke
no,
was
no, back in the days.
It was cheap, but it was also more stronger.
Right.
So you take a couple of hits, and you seeing, you know, one time I thought I saw this big. I went in the kitchen to get some water. I thought I saw a big cockroach about this big.
Right? Hey, yo, story. Three, you gotta relax. One, two, three, you gotta relax.
So it was behind one, you know, the dish rack, right? Right. So, at that time, I'm carrying the 38 long.
You tweaked out.
I put the 38 long on, and I'm looking at my cousin coming in. He's like, yo, what's wrong? What are you doing? I said, yo, T, there's a big gigantic boy by the thing. My eyes all wide open. So he said, yo, give me the gun. He said, put the gun down. I said, yo, I'm telling you. He said, put the gun. So I handed him a gun. And he said, man, psh, bust me by. I said, what's wrong with you, man? So they had to take me home. It was a New Year's Eve party, so they had to take me out. Matter of fact, it was Peter Masantos. Shout out to Peter Masantos at Fat Stevie's, at Peter's party. Right. So they had to take me to our stash joint because I couldn't go home like that. Mm. So they took me and put me in the shower, and he left me there. But I was like, I forgot what shower we supposed to take, the hot or the cold one, but I took the wrong one. So Estella, the joint helping me, it was hurting me. So I'm calling him because my heart was going like this. You know what I'm saying? So I called him. I said, yo, you got to come back and get me. My heart's getting ready to come out. You know, so he had to come back and get me. So, you know, I started, you know, the streets was my life.
Right.
But I went to jail. You know, and somebody told on me then too. I go to jail. And, this clown sets up the robbery. We go rob the joint. Uh-huh. They catch his BMW. He tells his sister to call me. And guess what his sister say?
What?
Yo, Pete, my brother said to break out. They found out who you are.
Hold on, he killed that.
I said, yeah, you know, they found out because he told on me.
Right.
So I ended up doing 4 years in the state.
Right.
But I came home, mm-hmm. you know.
Back to the streets.
Back to the streets, you know, I'm making a...
few dollars.
People don't realize, it takes more than just knowledge to be in that street game. You gotta have luck too. You can be strong, all that strength, you're a gangster. Yeah, I was all that, but you got to have luck too.
Yeah, right.
So I looked up and found some dudes that had the dope and they couldn't move it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they were scared because niggas was robbing them.
Right.
So, you know, they go through me, they ain't gotta worry about that. Mm-hmm. So I started moving dope for his head on, so I got $50,000 off a joint I was making. So that's what blew me up in the beginning. People don't even know that.
Yeah, that's why you start wearing suits like this, nigga. I see you. Look at that suit. That shit, look at the shoes.
And you know, everybody used to laugh at that.
Look at the socks.
And then they start wearing the same stuff.
That's the niggas that don't know. That's the niggas. Look at the socks. Look. What's that right there?
Excalibur.
Come on.
Excalibur.
Yeah. But you know.
Y'all don't know.
Listen, there's stories. There's more stories. Come on, talk about it.
So I went to the, I started doing the coke after that, so I started moving coke.
Mm.
You know, we moving closer to G keys a month. Right. So it's my whole team, and we all generals. They know I'm the boss. I might have a lot to say because I was the one getting it, but our whole team is bosses. I don't deal with workers. I deal with all bosses because that's how we are. Because if I step down or die or take a fall, next man up. We can take over. Mm-hmm. That's how we taught.
Yeah.
So. You know, we getting so much money, and everybody was like, we ain't having no fun. I'm having fun because I'm jetting, going to South Beach, Vegas, and all that. Because we was doing them private jets before these other dudes be talking about what they was doing.
Yeah.
We was doing that in incognito. Right. So anyway, they complained to my lieutenants and captain, all of them, yo, we working hard, man, but I got all this money, but we ain't having no fun. So I said, so what y'all want me to do? What do y'all do? Why y'all crying to me about this? And they said, well, your birthday coming up. I said, all right. He said, let's throw a party. So my captain said, let's throw a party. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do a party. He said, come on, man, it's for your birthday. So we did. I said, well, if I do a party, I don't want no shenanigans, none of that. People get out of hand, fights and all that. So I said, we got to make sure that we make this party to where everybody look up to. Because, I used to watch Dynasty and Dallas back in them day, and they had them black tie affairs. So I said, why black people can't do that? We can have a party like that. So I do a black tie affair at Key Sweat perform, my first party, and In-Touch perform. And, we threw the party, and it was like 3,000, 3,500 people came in. It was fabulous. Rocked it. So everybody was like, you know, the next 2 days, because it took us 2 days to recuperate. So everybody, you know, we was in the hotels, you know, All down in the hotels, you know, everybody's lost. So they was like, yo, Unc, man, we got we gotta do this shit every week. I said, man, we ain't doing no damn party every week, man. We gotta get this money. Y'all break out, go back to your towns now, you know, because everybody's coming from the other towns. Right. You know what I'm saying? And get the paper right. So I said, they taught me to do it once a month, you know, so we started doing it once a month. They had people like Mary J perform, you know, all the top DJs spinning, you know, all the football players like from the Giants when they was winning the Super Bowls, they was there. The Knicks was coming, you know, Oakley's my man, so they was coming. Mike Tyson was coming.
Madonna was coming.
Madonna came down the road, you know. Madonna. We'll get to that part, but all the people that you saw in New York that were celebrities, they was coming to the party. SWV, everybody was coming.
SWV.
You know? They all was coming to the joint, so, you know, we had a good time. And then, you know, I started transcending, like, am I a drug dealer? Am I a party promoter? Mm. You know, because you start getting that other, you know, like, I go to parties and people acknowledge me as a celebrity now. Mm. See what I'm saying? Like, I'll be in a, I forgot the joint we used to go to every Sunday, but it was on Sunday nights. And all the celebrities, Robert De Niro, Wesley Snipes, everybody be in these joints. And, you know, I'm in the same league as them. Mm. I'm coming in there, I'm getting the she had an eight seater. It's on 79th Street. She had an eight, Chazzy Wilson's. She had an eight seater. I had the biggest table in there. Everybody else had, Oakley used to be mad because he got a six booth. But I'm buying all the champagne in there. Right. So, you know, I'm coming down there. You know, at the time it was Cristal. So, give me all your Cristal. Mm. So, I'm spending all that money. And, you know, I got to taking the girls off the line. It's a long line to get in. Come on, you with me. Mm-hmm. So, we was balling. Wow. So, you know, the party thing was just like, for me, a thing to
catch a wreck. You catch a wreck.
You know, enjoy my. Just really for them, because I was going to go anyway.
Right.
I'm going to the casinos in Vegas. I'm going to the fight. But they was mad. Yeah. So I had to make my team happy. So, you know, and then it got to a point where, you know, Bentley's was the best club ever.
Right.
I don't care what nobody ever Bentley's was the best club ever. And we used to go there every week.
Right.
I used to go there religiously, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So when we go in there, you know, my team want to come hang out there. So I'm talking with my partners, and they was like, yo, man, what can we do to make it better for everybody? So I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start doing business from Bentley's, too. So say you coming to get 40 bricks.
Mm-hmm.
We got them in the parking lot, in the vans or whatever.
Okay.
You coming in the Bentley's, you know what I'm saying? You got your money wherever you got to get it. You come in and say, yo, what's up? You coming from out of town, whatever. I say, yo, listen, you know, what you want? You still want that 40, right? So I deal with people, I ain't got to count their money.
Right.
Because, you know, if I can't trust them, I can't deal with them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even have them around me.
Right.
So if they coming for their bricks, they come and give up the money. My lieutenants take the money where they got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them where their stuff is at. They go switch it up. They out. Mm-hmm. So it was enable, you know, I had to adjust and enable for everybody to have fun.
Right.
Instead of everybody, you know, having to stay in the crib and, you know, waiting for the phone calls. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it worked out for best for us until, you know, I took that fall. You know?
But before you took the fall, there's a situation.
How did you meet up with Madonna?
That's what I wanted.
Same place, Chazzy Wilson's. There was a birthday party for my man Chaz and this girl Tanisha around the corner. And at the Crane Club.
Mm. Yeah, I remember the Crane
and Club. And I was in there, shout out to Scooter and all them, that's my people too. So I was in there with them and we all hanging out and something that happened and somebody shut up in the air, so everybody ran out. But at the time, before that happened, I went around the corner because it was too crowded. I seen it was going to be drama in there. The Crane Club was too small, too many people, and everybody's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't drink like that when I'm out. You know what I'm saying? I drinking in the house, cool. I like to be alert, stay focused. So I went around, unless it's my birthday, then I pass my guns and everybody hold me down and I could get drunk on my birthday. That's my only rule I had. So I go back to Chaz and Wilson's and I'm chilling. And that I don't know what to call her, but she sent somebody over to me. You know, the lady you're calling Madonna, she's some shit to me though, but they sent her over to me and she was like, yo, you know, the nigga said, Madonna wanted to meet you, right? So I said, She said, you got pretty eyes. That's what she said. So I said, yeah, well, I like my women black like my coffee. Fucking around, right? Because I was at the bar with some other girls, bullshit. So he went back and told her, so I'm chilling with them. And she came back and tapped me on my shoulder. So I turned him out of his head. I said, yo, what's up? She said, that was a racist statement you made. I said, I was just playing. So she was like, she said, oh, what's your name? We started talking. I went back to where she was sitting at. So just me and her there, you know, drinking some champagne. I'm chilling. So we talking. Then she was like, can I see you again? Boom, boom, boom. We took each other's number. And so she said, I'm about to leave. Because she don't really hang out late. So I think it might have been 12, 1 o'clock. So I walked her back to the front, and I gave her a kiss, and she broke out.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back around to the Crane Club, you know, I know who shot up in there, but I ain't going to say. But somebody shot up in there, and he meant no harm, but it caused a stampede.
Right.
So everybody, you know, broke out. So everybody outside, drunk and get into it, and I have to tell everybody, yo, y'all chill, or y'all go home. I say, it's over with, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I don't like this, you know. And these are all the homies, but they from different boroughs, so they acting crazy, like, you know, they want to bring somebody a move. And I'm telling them, yo, y'all can't do that. We all family. Y'all niggas go home. So they was like, all right, shoot, all right, we out. So now, the girl I was going to take home, she broke, you know, she ran with the crowd. So I'm in there outside thinking, what I'm going to do? My people went off. Remember, we had them beepers back in the day. So it was a 212 area code. I called back. And you know, I ain't saying the name, you know why.
Yeah.
But, you know, she asked me what I'm doing and stuff, you know. So I said, yo, you know, I ain't doing nothing now. So she said, why don't you come by my crib? So she lives on 64th and Central Park West, and the joint was on 79th.
Right.
So I said, shit, what the hell? So I go down there. It's a loft. I go up in the elevator. She opened the door. She got a, like, negligee on, see-through joint. So you know the rest.
Yeah.
You know, it's on and popping.
Madonna, you gotta relax.
So I'm taking her over New York. I'm taking her to the Rucker Games. Yeah. And I'm taking her to, you know,
I'm flying back to the 4-5.
Yeah, I'm flying.
Nah, that's big.
She took her to the Bronx. So I took her, you know, I gotta take her to the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah.
City Island. So I'm flying back and forth to Miami now, and she's trying to get me to go to other countries with her. But you know, I'm first of all, I'm not trying to be with her like that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to watch my money, because when my homies found out I was hitting that, they was like, yo, you gotta get her to clean our money up. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying? But it ended up backfiring on me, because while I was came clean with her and told her what I'm trying to do, she was coming clean working with the feds.
Because
she put the informant on me. So my thing is this, you know, because I didn't want to be with her like that. Mm-hmm. See, she wanted to corral me and stuff. I mean, after I have sex with, after I come in there, she got her legs up trying to get the shit to go down to have a baby. She didn't have no babies then when I was messing with her.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, man, this girl is crazy. So, you know, then my girl found out about her, you know what I'm saying? So when my girl was bad, I don't want to put her name out there, but she's black and white.
So I know you was a situation about panties. What was that about?
Oh, the panties is what I was doing now, because we sold them already, but
you
we got...
You sold them?
Yeah, they're going to put them back on auction. They might put them back on auction. We did a private sale.
Because
the thing that they was doing, I didn't like the way it went publicly, so I pulled them back.
And when you got those panties?
She went to court. You had to go to court and everything to release them.
Oh, we had to get them back.
Oh, we had to get
because
them back.
Because when we gave them to the auction people, they confiscated them.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't confiscate something that was given to me.
Right.
And I got the letters to say, you know, how it transpired. Mm-hmm. But how I got the panties, she sent a lady. They told me she died, though, Carice. She sent a lady over. Because Carice could say a lot of what went on and tell her how grimy she was and how she set me up. I think she died. But anyway, she went on a plane one time, and I didn't want to go. So she sent the lady to my crib with the panties. Had the perfume smell and everything, you know. And she said, Madonna told me to drop this off to you. I said, she's bugging. You know what I'm saying? So I had those.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't even realize I had them for my 20-something years. When I came home and, you know, what property that everybody ain't steal and confiscate.
Right.
You know, my sister had them. And she said, you want this stuff? And I looked in the stuff. I seen some pictures, and then I seen the panties. I said, yo, that's crazy. Throw them shits out. But then he was like, yo, try to sell them.
Those so, Madonna yeah, panties, y'all.
Yeah, so that's what they was doing.
Okay.
But yeah, she, you know, but that's how I got the panties. But, you know, I was taking her everywhere, and, you know, I'm the one that picked up where she picked out the spot where she had the video.
Right.
You see, I was supposed to be in the video. The Secret, some stuff about The Secret, and I was supposed to be in that video. Mm-hmm. But when my girl found out about it, I tried to take my girl to Aruba and St. Martin's back to back and try to pass things up. Because she's like, I know you're messing with me, you know. But she was acting up down there still, so I cut her off when we got back. I said, you out. When you get home, get your shit, you out. Right. So at that time, I missed the Madonna video too. I'm supposed to get $150,000 for that. Yeah. So I didn't go to that. Because I told my girl, I said, listen, you can have the money. I'm just going to, you know, do the video. She said, no, I want, you know. Nah, but I missed the video.
When your girl's intrigued about it,
yeah,
it's like a hard situation because, you know, this is a different type of lifestyle, yeah. Especially, you know, you're talking about Madonna.
But if you see the video, they got the same type of dude, look just like me. Chinese dude with bald head, he took my spot. Mm-hmm. So he did the video, you know, The Secret.
Yeah. I got to look that up.
And you'll see it. If you look it up, you'll see he's in there with her. So I came back in the middle of the video shoot, and I was like, yo, I came to the trailer, and she was like, she ceased everything coming to the trailer. She was talking to me. She was like, yo. She said, you say you want to get out the game, but you don't want to do things to get out the game. I said, ho. I had an incident. I had to take care of it. So she, you know, she's, one thing about her, she thinks she could control somebody, but she couldn't control me because I got my own money.
Right.
So she was like talking, you know, sideways. And I had to check. I said, listen, hold up. You know what? Lose my number. I said, I ain't messing with you no more either. So I cut both of them off, my girl and her. Mm-hmm. So, because I ain't with that, you know. I don't ask if she ain't never spent a dime on me.
Right.
You know, I spend my money. Mm-hmm. We go to the site. And my man Mark, shout out to Mark LePoe, he'd be the witness because we was in Miami one time, Versace's. We went to Versace's joint, because that's how I met Versace. Yeah. We went to the store, and Mark was messing with his shirt. So, you know, they got one of them gay people working there, so he came over, oh, be careful with that, you know. So, well, he said, you know, like, cause Mark, like, you can't afford to pay for this. So Mark was heated. Mm-hmm. So I said, what'd he say? He said, you heard what he said, Shu? I said, yo. I said, go get the bag out the trunk. Everybody got the bag, right? Mm-hmm. So I threw $50,000 on the table. I said, this is all cash. It's $50,000. I said, yo, can you afford something now? So then Madonna was in the girl's session. So she came over and she said, what are you two doing? Causing trouble? I said, yo, stay out of this. I said, can you afford it now? Mm-hmm. The dude looking at the money. I said, matter of fact, what you bought over there? Put it on this tab. I said, if we need more money, go get some more. Mm-hmm. So I said, but let it be known, we'll never come in the store again.
Right.
So she called Versace, told Versace what happened. Versace tried to fire the dude. I said, nah, don't fire him. I said, he just don't realize that black people get money too.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It ain't all about them crackers. Mm-hmm. We get money too.
That's right.
So, you know, that was it. So.
That's right, man.
What's your nationality, before you keep continuing?
Black and Chinese.
Black and Chinese, okay.
He's half and
half. So they used to say I was black and East. That's what they say.
I'm Puerto Rican, black and Chinese. Guess what? I got to relax. Nah, but Peter Shue, man, not for nothing. Thank you for coming to fuck with us. What you got going on right now before we get out of here? What you got going on besides this book? And as far as, I know you're doing an audition or something like that.
Well, we're doing the casting for one of my screenplays.
What's the name of it?
Sexual Preference, and it's not Beta X.
Okay.
It's about a serial rapist killer.
Oh shit!
But it's a female doing it.
Right.
So through the whole movie, everybody's gonna think
it's a dude,
but it's a girl.
Oh shit!
It's gonna bug everybody out. And then
you a motherfucking
and
beast.
And then I got the one after that's called Forbidden Love. Mm-hmm. Then we're gonna do the Peter Shue story because everybody's going crazy over there.
Yeah.
And I got three more after that, so I got six joints ready to go. But
where can the people find the book at?
Google my name and it comes up everywhere. It's in Amazon. It's in Barnes and Nobles and Fam, I Got You's and iTunes. My cousin and them handle all this. Shout out to all of them. Shout out to all the 10% brothers that are home, and shout out to the 10% brothers that are in a way that's never coming home. And you'll know who that is, the 10% brothers that are not telling. The ones that's real, keep it real.
That's right.
I love them. Like, and I just got a shout out, a call from Little Paulie. You know, shout out to him. I got a message from Little Pistol Pete from Sex Money Murder.
Okay.
Shout out to him.
To the homie.
You know, shout out to Guy Fisher, Underwood,
shout
all the
out
brothers,
to Deuce.
Scooter, all the brothers that's real dudes in Prince, all the brothers in D-Nice, all them dudes that didn't tell, they my brothers. I got love for them. And I'm working on trying to get to address Congress and try to get them to release non-violent drug dealers. They supposed to release them off the top.
Right.
Because what's going on now? You got this, the pedophiles and the rapists and all them getting less time than drug dealers, and that's not fair.
Right.
I mean, now the drug dealers that committed violent crimes, and they're
it's understandable.
But they should still get parole. Right. They should still have to do 25 years, but they should still, because taking a life is vicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they should still have to get parole, go to parole board and have a chance to, and especially like Guy Fisher, he's a doctor now.
Yeah.
You know, he got a doctor degree.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you not let that man back in society?
Right.
You let the snitches back in society. Nicky Barnes is one corner shot. You let all Frank Lucas, you let all these dudes, Sammy the Bull, you let all these dudes back in, but you don't let the ones that was real back in society. You say no to them.
Right.
But these, me and him do the same crime. I tell. He don't tell. He stays in jail, but I get to come home?
Right.
That's not fair. It's, you know, so they have to do something to bring our people back, because mm-hmm. the kids is growing up, they wonder why everything's going crazy. The kids are growing up, most of these kids don't got no fathers.
Right.
All the fathers is in jail. I miss my whole childhood. Mm-hmm. My kids' childhood. They was 3 and 5 when I left. Two boys, 3 and 1 girl, 5.
Right.
Chamberlain missed his. Everybody misses their families, you know, because their fathers are not there, so they grow up with just a single parent. And they wonder why things is crazy out there. They need guidance. You feel me?
Yeah.
So that's what we need to address to the people. We need to get our people back home that did their time, mm-hmm. shouldn't have more time than these other people that's committing these serial killers,
mm-hmm.
Pedophiles. Pedophiles run around like they could keep doing it, because I seen them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going home, I'm getting another boy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. So that's a rape, a child molester, no, that's more a serious of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
how
crazy.
Can you, how that's on that kid's mind the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why on my birthday, I don't know if you remember, I told everybody, man, don't come and celebrate with me. Do me a favor. Feed a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them a $3 meal.
That's dope.
Go see the children in the hospital. Go see the ones that's sad, that's heartbroken, that's been molested.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to them. Because a brother like any one of y'all, they would look up to.
Right.
And they would be like, wow, somebody came to you know, console me on my problems.
I'm going to take that into consideration, because I'm thugged out Thursdays. And listen, Peter Shue,
man.
We want to thank you for coming out. This is a great, great, great night. My brother Peter Shue came out, we got some more to give you, so stay woke and stay tuned. This is Thugged Out Thursdays, and I go by the name of Chang Bang.
And I go by the name of No Grand Boot.
And we got motherfucking Peter Shue in the motherfucking house, and guess what? You gotta relax.
Wa-da-da! Chaka-da!